Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. I'm lucky. I'm glad to be with you. This is Saturday, June 13th, 2015. And this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, WTTTY, on the Wilder Network. Thank you for being here. If you're not, you can't listen. This is Saturday. I understand. Podcast the show for later. Download it, you know, archive it for your listening pleasure later. Okay, I'm broadcasting live from Chicago. And it's, so far, it has been a beautiful day. It's 6 o'clock straight up in Illinois, well, at least in Chicago it is. And it's a beautiful day. Somehow I always seem to start this show out talking about the weather because, I don't know, I guess it's just one of those things. It's just something you just have to talk about if you're on the air, whether you're on radio or television or whatever kind of media you're in. You start off talking about the weather because the weather affects everyone, you know, no matter where you are, who you are, what you are. It doesn't matter. Rich or poor, you're going to freeze if you do not take care in trying to keep yourself warm or cool. You know, so far it's been a beautiful, beautiful day here in Chicago. And I'm going to be talking about maybe several subjects, as always, topics, whatever you want to call them, like I do all the time. No topic is off limits. You can talk about anything you want. This is Anything Goes Saturday. I had to think about that for a while because sometimes my head starts spinning. And this is Saturday, and I can see on my screen there are schools out for the summer. Well, not quite. At least not for some of the kids in public schools or in charter schools or around Chicago, they're still in. I think their last day, at least for my son, it's his last day of school is June 19th. So, but, you know, you can technically say that school is virtually out. Not all the way out, but, you know, getting out. But they're going to be, and I think summer vacation for kids in Chicago has been shortened. Yeah, I remember there was a time when you were out for summer, you would get at least 2.5 months. But now you barely get a month and a half. It's been shortened. In some cases, school hours have been lengthened. They give good reasons for that, to try to keep the kids off the street because of the crime, which is something I have to agree with. So that's that. You know, so you want to say, well, school's out for the summer. You want to find something for your kid to do. And most parents are reliable parents. They know that they have to do something. Yeah, I mean, you don't want your kid sitting around all day on the computer, laying around all day in their room, on the bed, on the couch, playing video games. You have to keep kids, you have to keep them busy. That's no doubt about it. You got to keep them busy. You got to keep them always doing something that is constructive. Because if you don't keep them doing things that are constructive, they're going to start doing things that are destructive. And you don't want to do that. So you want to keep them busy because kids, they will get bored, lazy, and they will start to rebel and talk back because they feel because they're in your house, that you ought to cater to them, to their every whim, but that's not true. That shouldn't happen. I know my mother never spoiled me, and I don't think I've ever spoiled my son, and I don't think I ever spoiled him. He does not get everything he wants. Even if I can afford it, he will not get it. I will teach him how to work for it, to earn it, because he's growing up. He's a young man, and that's what the world is going to look for him to do, is to earn his keep, to earn his way. Things cannot be given to him on a silver platter. You don't do that. You don't give your child everything that they ask for, even if you can afford to go out and buy it, because that's not a good thing. Because you give them something they didn't deserve, they're going to expect something all the time that they do not deserve. I always, when my son do something great, I always reward him in some way. Yeah, I reward him. I think you should reward your children when they do something great, not just give them things or go out and buy them stuff just because they're asking for it. In my opinion, they have to earn it. And I think you setting forth some good values that way in your kid. You know, I mean, I don't go out and my son wants a lot of things. Whether I can afford it or not, he has to prove to me that he can earn these things that I'm about to give him. He has to prove to me. He has to go out and get good grades, you know. He has to be a good guy. He has to be friendly and nice and courteous to those who are, well, let me put it this way. He has to be friendly, nice, and courteous to those who have less than he has. He has to prove to me, and I will do anything I possibly can for him if I see that he is actually trying to make me proud of him. I've heard people say I'm a bad father. I've heard people say I'm a good father. But I always say to myself, I can always do better as the parent. I don't look at myself as a good dad or a bad dad. I always say that I can do better as a parent. And I believe that. And that's not giving my son anything he asked for. I mean, you work hard for your money, you know, and your son is sitting, your son or daughter is laying around the house on the phone all day, upstairs in their room. You busting your butt working, and they're doing nothing. All they expect for you to do for them, which is nothing wrong because you are the parent. You are... You're basically supposed to do for them because you're their parent, but you don't have to. I mean, there are so many times I've seen and I've actually witnessed parents letting their children tell them what to do, when to sit down, when to get up, where to go, what to buy, what not to buy. And I think that's wrong. My mother never spoiled me. She never, I don't know if she wanted to do or not to do it, but I know that I was never a spoiled child. And I don't want my son to think that he can get, well, he knows by now, I mean, he's 16, he knows by now that daddy will not give him anything unless he shows me some improvement in every aspect of his life. And he's done that so far. And I think the reason why my son turned out the way he is right now, which is he's a very nice guy, he's very friendly, he's very giving, he's very helping. I think he turned out that way because of my input. And I'm not bragging. I'm just saying you have to be a good parent to your teenager because teenagers... I mean, he thought the same way. He thought he was grown. He thought because he was a teenager that I should go out and buy him and get him anything he wants, that I should leave him alone when he wants to be alone, that I should not help him with his homework because he feels that he knows what he's doing. And I always say to myself, you don't know what you're doing because if you knew what you were doing, you would not have all these D's and F's. With my input, his grades gone up. And I think, actually, to this day, I still think they need some improving, but they're a lot better than what they were. So when I say school's out for the summer, You know, I mean, you have to do something for your kids. You got to keep, and I think the parents is responsible for trying to helping to keep their kids busy. If your kid is out there in the streets, running the streets, standing on the corners, hanging out with the wrong people, you as a parent, you're doing something wrong. Of course, the kids will rather go outside and play than to go upstairs in their rooms or to their rooms in general and do their homework or read a book. Of course, they're going to want to play, but it's up to the parent to put their foot down and say, no, you've got homework to do. You have school tomorrow. You've got to this or that. You have to be in the house to do those things, or you will not get good grades. I mean, kids can drive you nuts. My son has drove me so my son has drove me crazy enough to I had to go visit the doctor one day. I said, "Doc, what is it?" "It's Denver, George." Okay, you know, but you know, I love kids. I've always loved kids. My son, he loves children too. He loves children to death. But he knows that he will not get everything that he asked for from dad. I will put my foot down, and if things are, if he gets home late, I will put my foot down because of that. Because every time he gets home late, that makes it later for me to have to stay up and help him with his homework. But I don't mind helping him with his homework, because I think when I help him with his homework, we both learn something, you know, because teaching, education and teaching today is a lot different than it was back when I was going to school, back when I was in grammar school and high school. It's a lot different. So you just have to learn what's going on in schools today so you can apply it properly to your children. And I've always helped my son with his work. I've always helped him out. But there are some times when teenagers, they don't want your help. They are turned help down. And I tell my son all the time, do not turn help down when people are trying to help you improve yourself in life. Do not turn them down, especially if you do not know. You know, he stopped turning people down because he used to turn down help. I said, why are you turning down help? You have a C. You need all the help you can get, you know. So he's a great kid. He's a wonderful kid. I'm a proud dad. But like many teenagers, sometimes you need to, you know, be a little stern and a little more serious with them. Because if you're playful with them all the time, they're going to take that as, wow, I can get away with anything from mom and dad. They like me. They love me. I can get anything. My son know that is not the way to go. That is not going to happen. Not with dad, not with me, maybe with mommy, but not with me. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. I'm proud to be here. I'm glad you're there. If you can't, like I said before, if you can't do the show, if you can't call into the show, you can always podcast the show for later. But if you decide to call in and chime in on what the topics are, and, you know, I'll take your comments. I'm glad to get your thoughts, you know. This is George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. And my call-in number, guest call-in number, if you decide that's what you want to do, my number is 347-857-1762. If not, just relax and I'll just keep running my mouth. All right, my son and his high school band. I went to his house, went to the his show yesterday at his school. And I enjoyed it very much, and I really enjoyed it. I thought he was a star. We knew that he was the star of the show. I mean, when I went there, I knew he was in the band. I thought they was going to have him in the way in the back somewhere, and where I could hardly see him. I sat up front, because I wanted to, you know, take some photographs and I wanted to do some video. So I sat up front. I'm saying, wow, I know I'm going to have to crawl further in the back to get a photograph of him. But that was not the case. I mean, he came out. He was the first one on the stage with another group of kids. And he was just awesome. There was no doubt about it throughout the show. And it lasted, I think, almost 2 hours. And In every aspect of that show, he was the star. He was the one everybody was cheering, everybody was clapping for, and everybody felt that they've gotten their money's worth coming to the show. And I felt proud myself. And I wanted to jump up and say many times, that's my son, that's my boy. I really did want to do that. He's in his high school band. He's also on the soccer team, and he plays basketball. And he has autism. But he doesn't let that bother him, and the kids and the faculty at his school, they know him almost better than I do. I say almost, but because nobody knows him more than I do, because I am the parent, and nobody knows him more than his mother does. Okay? We are parents. So he was awesome. He was totally awesome. If I get some time, I'll put some video and some photographs that I've taken up on Facebook and some other social media sites to let people see my son. Yeah, I just wish his grades was that good. But he was great. He was wonderful. He was awesome. And for that, I will reward him. I actually did. I rewarded him with a pizza. He loves pizza, so I went and got some home run pizza, and he loved it. He loved it. I don't eat pizza as much as I used to back in the day, but for this occasion, and because he was so good, he got an A from everybody, and that was great, and it was wonderful. And he's going to be out, I think, on the 19th, like I said, the 19th of June, and he's already set up for volunteering. And he's already set up for finding employment. But if he doesn't find employment, there's always a place for him to volunteer. But I'm hoping that we can find him employment, because I want him to get the experience of receiving his own paycheck. Okay, he's volunteered for about 3 or 4 years in the past. But now it's time for him to know what it feels like to get a paycheck for doing 4, 5, or 6, 8 hours of work each day. I think that'll be good experience for him, you know. But I want to say, hey, for Denver, I think he did a great job. I think he did a wonderful job. And I'm very, very, very proud of him. You know, I mean, we have been through a lot together. I mean, a lot. Me, we, when I say we, his mother, myself, and also my son. We've been through a lot together, just us, you know. So I'm divorced, so don't worry about it. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago, and I'm talking about my son and his high school band. I've got it right here on the screen, and it's a great feeling. It's a great – I'm going to take a break right here. Probably go get a drink of water or something. I will be right back, and stay with me. Stay with me. Stay with me. All right, here we go. Be right back.
the hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Thank you. Thank you for that. That's Denver Wilder with that great introduction. Like I said before, I am very, very proud of him, and I want him to know that. And I love him. My son, I love him. Okay. All right. If you want to call in, I'd love to get your thoughts on just about anything you have to talk about. My number is 347-857-1762. I said so much, I should know it automatically, but sometimes it doesn't work that way. Anyway, okay, this is Chicago, Chicago, Illinois. It's a beautiful town. It's a beautiful state. It's a beautiful city. And I just hate that this is a topic that I've talked about before, and I'm going to keep talking about it because I think it's relevant for this time. Spike Lee is in town. Spike Lee, the movie maker, Do the Right Thing, Crooklyn, you name it, Jungle Fever. I mean, I love a lot of his movies. We all love Spike Lee movies because they're funny. They're informative in some ways. And, you know, they're just great entertainment. What can I say? But this is not it. He's in town. I've stated this before on a few other shows previously. He's in town making a movie about the crime on Chicago's South and West Side. I'm thinking, okay? And Spike Lee can make a movie about anything he wants. It could be silly, it could be wise, it could be informative, it could be educational. It could be, you know, stupid. Who knows? He's just a good movie maker. Although, I think his last two or three movies were flops. But that doesn't taint Spike Lee. Spike Lee is Spike Lee. When you think of Spike Lee, you think of Denzel Washington. You think of Wesley Snipes. I mean, you think of Samuel L. Jackson. All of these people have starred in his movies. Okay, I have nothing against Spike Lee and his movies. He makes great movies, but on this case, on this city, about this city, I just don't like, I just can't get next to the name Chirac. He is comparing Chicago with Iraq, a Middle Eastern country filled with thugs, murderers, rapists, criminals. You know, I mean, he's comparing Chicago with a murderous capital of the world. Sure, we have, sure, there is a lot of senseless violence going on in the city. It's pathetic. I hate it. I despise it. I talk against it. I rail against it. I try to go out here and do something about it. You know, but the more I try to do something about it, I talk about it, it goes on, keeps going on. It seemed like just nonstop violence. Of course, I'm not going to deny that. But one of the things I do know, Chicago is a beautiful city. It's a wonderful city. And let me say this, because of the violence in this city, and it's a hell of a lot, people have moved out of the city. People do not want to come and settle into the city. The population of Chicago, this city, was 3 million people. Now, it's a little less than that. It's down to 2 million and something, if I got the numbers right. 2 million. The population has declined. People have moved out of the city. Businesses have moved out because of the violence. I mean, you cannot have a business in Chicago without somebody walking in and sticking a gun in your face, saying, give me all your money. In some cases, you give the thug all your money, and they still shoot you or kill you. The problem here is the police. Okay, let me step back. The problem is bad parenting. We know that. That's a non-starter. Bad parenting of some of these crooks out here is what got them out here. Okay? Secondly, it's the police. Where is the police? Why aren't they patrolling these areas 24/7? When they know themselves that crime areas of the city, they know where the crime is taking place. They know where the gangbangers are. They know where the shooting is going to be. They know when a shot is fired, they know where it's coming from. They know where to go to try to find the culprit. They know. But they are too late. My thing is, like I said in previous shows, police officers, they're the problem because they're not there to stop and prevent the crime from happening. In a city with violence, senseless violence such as Chicago, police should be saturating those crime-ridden neighborhoods, those war zone neighborhoods. And the title of Chirac should never have come up. I'm surprised that Rahm Emanuel will let these guys make a movie in the city degrading the movie. That name degrades the movie. I've heard some people say, well, it's not a bad name. It's okay. It is not okay. It's awful. You're sending out bad vibes about this city all over the world. Who wants to come and visit a city with the name Chirac? Michael Jordan has been synonymous for this city. When people thought of Chicago, the first thing they used to think of was Al Capone. Now, with a movie coming out, and you know what? It's going to be a hit movie. Chirac, oh, I hate to say that name, but it's going to be a hit movie for Spike Lee. You know why? Because it's controversial. You know, so many people are talking about it. It's all over television. It's the news, the internet. You know, Spike Lee is going around trying to defend the movie's name. How can you defend it? He doesn't live in Chicago. I mean, you got this guy, Father Flager, I think he's on the west side of the city, defending the name. Of course, he's white. And the only people that are killing each other are black. There's a lot of us in Chicago that do not like there's a lot of people in this city, we don't like the name. I hope he hears me, but, you know, what can I say? When you got nutcases out here just saying that it's okay to have the name of Chirac, and they live in the city. What gets me, it's just so many people who are trying to, I'm going to talk about this again. So many people who are trying to say, why are you so angry about the name? It's true. No city like Chicago or no city within the United States should be compared to Iraq. It's simple as that. The tone of the city is not Iraq. We're nothing like Iraq. What we need is more police, maybe the military or the National Guard, to saturate these crime-ridden areas, like I just said. We don't need a name like Chirac because this name is going to stick forever. A name like that would make me want to move up out of the city, okay? Because I don't want to be associated with something Chirac. Okay, when millions of people go see this movie, what do you think is going to stick in their head, regardless whether the movie is good or bad? What do you think is going to stick in their head when they leave that movie? Or as they're entering the theater, Chicago, Shy, S-H-I, is short for Chicago. Rack, of course. Iraq, the Middle Eastern country, the terrorist country, the country where you could find the terrorist group ISIS. How in the hell can you prepare this wonderful, this beautiful, this friendly, this loving city to a place like Iraq. And let me say this again. You've got some people, African Americans, people who are living in those communities, saying it's okay for them to call the city Chirac. What are they smoking? What are they drinking? I mean, you got some, I hate to say, but you got some people living in Chicago that don't have any brains at all. None whatsoever. They want to get on TV. They want to get their faces. They're trying to get into the movie. Like I said in the beginning, Spike Lee can make any movie he wants. And it's probably I'm going to love it. Or either I'm going to hate it. I'm going to really hate the name. Because it seems as though, as I speak, they're not going to change it. And he's around town already, as I speak, shooting the movie. My understanding, tomorrow he's going to be shooting downtown in the Loop. And they're stuck with the name Chirac. But like I said, this is good publicity for Spike Lee and his movie. Because the more controversy there is about this movie, the more people are going to flock to the theaters to check it out. So this is a win-win for Spike. Like I said before, I think his last two or three movies were flops. I saw Red Hook Summer. I thought that was awful. But but that did not deter me from any of the other earlier Spike movies, which were gems, five stars, as far as I'm concerned. Do the Right Thing, Crooklyn, Jungle Fever, and a few others. They were great. But Red Hook Summer, man, if you don't believe me, check it out. It's out there somewhere. It's awful. It is totally awful. But that's not Spike Lee, you know. And I'm just hoping that this movie doesn't be as bad as Red Hook Summer. Red Hook Summer, it had some controversy about, you know, it being a sequel to Do the Right Thing. Spike said it was not a sequel to Do the Right Thing. And he was right. It is not a sequel to Do the Right Thing because it is a very, very awful movie. I think I saw it on Netflix. I could never purchase it. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. Let's hope we can get Spike Lee. Hey everyone, this is George Wilder. Hey everyone, this is George Wilder Jr., author and radio host. Follow me right here on Block Talk Radio and the Wilder Network. No topic, like I said before, like I always say, no topic is off limits. Talk about anything you want to talk about within. Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago.